Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Monday, the 18th of November. Coming up, hundreds turn up for an illegal rave at Carpet Right store.
This is a retail park and we are closing quite late as well. And you just don't know who you're going to meet, what state they'll be in.
Young politician criticises abuse on social media.
I think people have gone really out of control with what they're saying, and Brexit is just overshadowing everything and making people really angry. It can become really toxic.
And Gillingham's win helps them climb League One table.
I was really pleased with the quality of our football and passages in the second half, but I've said to the boys we're still not there for 90 minutes yet. We had a dogged first half, but a very good second half.
Kent Online News.
First today, a teenager's denied murdering a young man who was stabbed to death in Maidstone. Ish has the latest for Kent Online.
21-year-old Andre Bent died following a disturbance in the town centre in the summer. Seven of the 11 people appearing in court today have admitted violent disorder. A 16-year-old we're not allowed to name pleaded not guilty to murder and three counts of attempted murder. Three other people denied causing GBH. One also denied another attempted murder charge.
Kent Online reports.
Elsewhere today, 39 migrants have been rescued after trying to cross the channel in small boats within hours of each other. Border Force officers dealt with four separate incidents off the Kent coast yesterday morning, and the police, Coast Guard helicopter and lifeboats were also involved. The Iranian nationals have been taken to Dover, where they'll be interviewed by immigration officials. More than 1,000 people have taken part in an illegal rave at a former carpet store in Medway. They were kicked out of the Carpet Right shop at Strood Retail Park on Saturday night. A 39-year-old man from Ashford was arrested and questioned on suspicion of conspiring to commit a public order offence and supplying a psychoactive substance. He's since been released on bail. Phil's been getting some reaction to the event.
So obviously you're looking to move into this shop. Just tell us about the kind of time frame of what's going on in this shop and kind of, you know, what you first expected when you heard that there was an illegal rave happening right next door to where you're moving in.
Well, there was a few delays for us to get into the premises due to unexpected findings, and we were extending the windows, etc. The weather wasn't really friendly either, so, you know, it was anxious enough for us to hear about another delay. And then actually a colleague of mine emailed me the link to your website as well yesterday morning. So my first thought was, oh God, I hope they didn't get into our premises as well, because that would mean another delay.
So when were you looking to move into the shop?
Today is the day. So yeah, lucky enough, it's the party next door is not affecting that.
So, you know, obviously it's quite a quiet sort of business area. There's not too much going on, especially at night. So is it a little bit concerning almost for you to kind of have that happening right next door as well?
It definitely is, especially that, you know, first of all, it's illegal. And secondly, to be perfectly honest, there's always drugs, alcohol involved. So it can get out of hand easily. The word spreads so quickly via social media. So yeah, it's very concerning for us as the neighbours, us as the new neighbours especially. And, you know, we are a charity, so all we want to do is to raise money to beat cancer, and we just don't want to be affected by any unsocial behaviour like this.
Does this kind of make you maybe feel a little bit unsafe now?
A little bit, for sure, yes, especially that, you know, this is a retail park and we are closing quite late as well, and you just don't know who you're going to meet, what state they'll be in.
And just finally, of course, you know, the fact that the way they got in is by breaking in, so that, exactly. That must be quite concerning as well.
Yes, definitely. Obviously, it was an illegal party, so yeah, they couldn't get in with just opening the door with a key, so they broke in. So lucky enough, it didn't happen to us, but if it would, that would be extra damage, more costs to it, etc. Not to mention the psychological aspect of it, us feeling unease, on edge, because you just don't know what you're going to come into the following morning.
Kent Online reports.
Tributes have been paid to a man who died in a hit and run in Dover. 53-year-old Michael Evans, who's been described as a gentle, harmless giant, was killed when he was hit by a car in Frith Road last weekend. The car was later found abandoned in nearby allotments. Two people arrested in connection with his death have been bailed until next month. A man in his 20s has been taken to hospital after being attacked with a wooden plank and metal pole in Margate. A fight said to have broken out on North Down Road in the early hours of yesterday. Police are keen to speak to witnesses or anyone with CCTV or dashcam footage. Now, as the general election campaigning heats up, a teenage politician is warning other young people not to abuse those they don't agree with on social media. Anna McGovern became chair of Medway Youth Council earlier this year and says she suffered more abuse online than any other chairman in recent memory. She's been telling us why she thinks it's getting worse.
With rise of social media, it's so much more, you know, easier to make comments and everything. And I think in terms of what I've been subjected to is like, especially on platforms like Twitter, you know, people would, you know, make tweets and then make, you know, comments about anything that's happened in the council and everything, and any meetings that have happened as well. So I think it's like a lot easier to you know, target specific individuals or anything and make comments about what they're doing online for everyone to see. There was a situation a few weeks ago where there was a meeting and then a couple of people from an organization was quoting something from the council and then like questioning what we were doing and everything. And we've been accused of being like a talking shop, which I would say is absolutely false. I think we as an organization have done so much to make a huge difference to the community and giving young people a voice. But I think with platforms such as Twitter, it's so much easier to, you know, have your say in, you know, situations. And I think it's obviously a really good platform, you know, to, you know, say your views. But I think it can also be used for in a bad sense as well. I think with young people, they're very outspoken, and which is, I think, is a good thing. But I think maybe it's because it's a lot easier nowadays to like vocalize how you feel. And especially like in today's society, I think it's just so many more ways you can sort of talk about how you feel. And, you know, platforms such as Twitter, it makes it so much more easier. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's anything that is happening in this term in particular that's causing it, but I think it's just because it's so much easier nowadays to sort of say how you feel. And I think young people in particular are becoming a lot more outspoken, so I think that's probably why you're more likely to be subjected to it. Young people are becoming to use Twitter more, and I think that's a really good thing because they're getting more involved in discussions and everything. But I think also it can be quite a toxic atmosphere because I've seen like threads and everything, and sometimes they can be like very it can become quite abusive. And you see, I won't name like specific situations or individuals or anything, but I have seen like circumstances where comments have become quite nasty, or arguments have broken out online. And I think that can also be very damaging, especially to some young people who've been subjected to it and never really had to deal with stuff like that before. And something similar happened internally within the Youth Council, so we had to step in and make sure our members were okay and everything. But I think nowadays it's just so much more common for, you know, young people and everyone to be subjected to abuse online, because I think it is so much easier nowadays to be able to receive it, because it's like with rises technology and everything, I think it could just be done so easily. With Brexit, I think it overshadows everything that's happening at the moment, because I think one time politics is solely about making a difference to the lives of constituents locally and nationally, and now I think it's just become like this massive argument, because I think voters are split over the vote of the general referendum, and now everything is just so overshadowed by Brexit, and I think it's caused a lot of toxicity in politics. And I think young people are growing up to think that's the norm of politics, when really it should be about, you know, social change. And I do think it has affected you know, not only young people, but even like adults, like on Twitter platforms, for example, a lot of the discussion is very toxic. A lot of it is debate and argument. And I think if it's done in a positive way, in the sense that you're trying to, you know, give someone a different opinion without necessarily making it quite abusive or argumentative, I think it's always good to say your views. But I think when it becomes like really like abusive or even almost bullying, I think that's wrong. But I think even nationally, there are so many cases of abuse that MPs have to receive for doing their jobs. And I think it's a lot more common nowadays. So maybe not only adults being affected, but also young people are becoming to, you know, they're seeing that this is the norm. So possibly that's why, like, this whole toxicity atmosphere has come about.
Kent Online News.
Police have released a computer-generated image of a man they're hunting after a teenager was pushed into a bush when he refused to hand over his mobile phone. The boy was targeted in an alleyway in Sandend in Whitstable before the man ran off empty-handed. You can see the picture at kentonline.co.uk. A court's heard how a man stabbed the tyres of a car in Herne Bay following a row over parking. It happened after a couple pulled into a private car park in Central Parade so they could go into a restaurant and book a table. 52-year-old Lawrence Gibbons, who lives in the flats opposite, came out to argue with them and used a knife to damage the tyres. He's been ordered to pay £800 in compensation. Climate campaigners have described a Christmas ice rink in Canterbury as an environmental disaster. The attraction's due to open at Danejohn Gardens at the end of the month, but there are concerns about two diesel generators which will provide power to the site and the huge amount of water it'll take. The City Council say the decision to run it was made before they declared a climate emergency, but they'll consider other options in future.
Kent Online reports.
A 900-year-old church near Faversham could be forced to close because of a funding shortage. All Saints in Graveney has just 7 regular worshippers and is struggling to survive because of high costs. The people who run it say without more support, they'll be forced to shut within 2 years. A mum from Northern Ireland has thanked a complete stranger after her order of baby grows ended up strewn across a busy road in Maidstone. Kima McConway, who lives near Belfast, took to Facebook to try and find a woman called Emily, who took a photo of her address and sent her own parcel of baby clothes instead. The new mum, who's 28, says it restored her faith in humanity. And Will Young and James Morrison are going to co-headline next year's Forest Live gigs at Bedbury Pineatum. They're organised by Forestry England to introduce Forest to new audiences. The concerts will happen in June. Tickets go on sale on Friday.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham have climbed to 14th in the League One table after beating Lincoln City over the weekend. A goal from Mikhail Mandron in the first half was enough to secure a 1-0 win at Priestfield. Jill's manager Steve Evans says it'll give them a boost ahead of their FA Cup replay against Sunderland on Tuesday.
I think it's been a big week. I think to produce the performance we produced at Sunderland in the second half particular, to take that into Tottenham, you make 9 changes, 10 changes. You go in against Sunderland, another young side, but we really could have done some damage. The quality of player, I was telling our chairman who was away, sorting some bits out for his father's funeral, and I said the performance was excellent, give us room for thought. And I have to say, the performance today, particularly in the second half, you have to end the right against Lincoln, but particularly in the second half, was in terms of the movement, the passing, the football. We should win 3 or 4, shouldn't we? But we'll take 1-0, we'll take a clean sheet, we'll take 3 points. But it was the industry, the organisation. We scored from a set play. We should have scored from another one. Some terrific play.
Yeah, Mikhail Mandron probably could have had a hat-trick, couldn't he? But that winning goal would be a boost for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we all know he should score the header that comes before the header that hits the ball. The one that hits the ball is a terrific header. From memory, it's about 10 yards. He gets up and the goalkeeper's beaten all ends, as you know. He's given it up. But Hamlin had a couple stopped on the line. We looked from Ashes. All of these got a simple tap in and takes by his own admission, takes his eye off it, thinks he's just going to arrive and score. But I'm going to criticise none of the players because none of them deserve it. They all deserve enormous praise. The supporters all round the ground, not just Arena Men. I'm always praiseworthy of the Arena Men, but all round the stadium were fantastic today in the second half. They've seen some great play. and we're really pleased.
And going ahead this week, an ideal start to get the win ahead of that game against Sunderland in the Cup.
That's got to be tough. You know, I'm one of those managers that still, I think I said it after the draw at Sunderland, I relate to Sunderland as Bob Stoker running across the pitch. I was a wee boy watching that and thinking, what's this magical cup competition? And Sunderland of that level, aren't they? So I know Phil and I know Parkinson, I know Stevie Parker, they'll come here, they'll be desperate to win, they'll be organised, they'll be efficient, they'll have the weekend off, they'll be working on it. So, you know, we're not in the next round. People suddenly think we're not in the next round. We don't think about the draw. We think about trying to deal with a big club like Sunderland.
Elsewhere in the National League, Ebbsfleet managed to come back from 2 goals down with 10 men to get a draw against Hartlepool on Saturday. Josh O'Meara was sent off at the end of the first half, but after the break, Miles Weston scored twice and the game finished 2-2. Boss Kevin Watson told us what he thought of the match.
That's the poorest half of football we've had since I've been at the club, not at the races. We were meant to have the fast start. That didn't materialise. They were all over us. Same system as what we play, yet to a man they were better. 1 to 11 or whatever numbers you wear these days, they were just so much better than us. I'm actually glad we only went in at 2-0 down. But there was no excuses for that first half. We were flat, wasn't good enough. So we had words at half-time, decided the best way to approach the second half was not to go gung-ho. I know you can hear people saying, get up the pitch and get forward. It's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. The boys carried out what we asked them to do second half perfectly, absolutely perfectly. But the slow start has cost us today, I think. That just shows the mentality of these boys, the work ethic of these lads. They didn't stop for the whole 94 minutes. And I think got our just desserts for an outstanding second half. We changed the shape at half time. I told them not to go chasing the ball. Eventually, Hartlepool, their midfield can drop in, they can go deep, they can go and get it. I didn't really care because they're going to have to come to you at some point. And then they started getting sloppy. Then we started nicking the ball. Our shape was good. And I think it was, we deserved a point. It's as simple as that based on the second half. I'm still learning. I'm still learning as I go. I'm still learning about players. I'm still learning about formations. We had to change today. It's not something I want to do on a regular basis, but we needed to. A, because we were down to 10 men. And B, because they were playing 3-5-2 much better than we were. So something had to change. Fortunately or unfortunately, Josh got sent off, which forced me to change the formation. But as I say, I am so, so pleased with what I saw that second half. And this is what it means to these boys. You know, they are fighting. We're down there in a scrap, but they are fighting. And I think that's one defeat in 7 in the league, possibly. Notts County was an FA Cup game. But every point that you gain when you're down the bottom is a point towards getting out of trouble.
Staying with football, and a former Kent schoolboy has made his debut for England in their Euro 2020 qualifier against Kosovo. 21-year-old Chelsea player Fikeo Tomori used to go to Gravesend Grammar School and came on as a sub during England's 4-0 victory last night. The win means they'll be one of the top 6 seeds in next summer's tournament. And in ice hockey, it was a mixed weekend for Kent's Invicta Dynamos. They beat Cardiff Fire 11-5 in Wales on Saturday night, but then lost 8-2 away to Chelmsford Chieftains yesterday evening. The Mows are currently 6th in the South Division 1 table. That's it for now, but for more news throughout the day, you can head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.